6. There are brochures about the rest of the conference for anyone who's interested in checking out some of the other sessions during the weekend. My name is Faylene. I'm a member of the International Socialist in Toronto, and I'll be chairing the meeting tonight. I want to apologize for the fact that we're starting a bit late. One of our panelists, Amir Kadir, who is a founding member and spokesperson for the new party of the left in Quebec, Quebec Solidaire, is on the train right now and will be arriving, but that's why we're starting a bit late. So we're going to have three panelists on this evening's panel. The first speaker is Benoît Renault, who is a leading member of the International Socialists, and he's also a member of Quebec Solidaire in Gatineau for that. Then we'll hear from Chris Brown, who is an activist, a member of Quebec Solidaire in Montreal, and who is also a member of the UFP, Union des Forces Progressistes, which is an organization which merged with another organization in Quebec called Option Citoyenne to form Quebec Solidaire. And we're very happy, he hasn't arrived yet, but we're very happy to have Amir Kadir coming from Montreal to speak to us, and he will be arriving at some point this evening during the discussion. And there will be, after the three speakers have spoken, there will be time for questions and discussion from people who are here. So without further ado, we'll get started, and Benoît va parler en premier. He's going to speak first.
Merci, Faline. So, I think it is appropriate for one of the two opening sessions at Marxism this year to be focusing on Quebec Solidaire, because it is a very significant political development in several ways, mostly in two big ways. One aspect of it is that Quebec Solidaire is one of those new parties that have been formed as a result of the anti-capitalist movement, the anti-war movement, and that whole ferment of radicalization that we've seen for the past 6 or 7 years now. And it shares some characteristics with other parties of that type, like Respect in the UK, or the VASG in Germany, or PISOL in Brazil, and others. But of course, each national situation is different and quite complex, but there are some commonalities, and it is to a large extent a product of those new movements. But also, Quebec Solidaire is the product of another process happening at the same time over a much longer period of time, which is basically, in short, the struggle of the working class in Quebec and the left in Quebec to organize itself independently from capitalist parties like the Liberals and the PQ and the RDQ right now in Quebec. So it is a historical breakthrough at that level. Quebec Solidaire was founded 3 months ago at Université de Montréal, and it already has 6,000 members, which is much bigger than any previous left-wing party in the history of Quebec. So, and it obviously is, that's only the beginning. It's likely to grow significantly over the next few years. So the way of putting all that together would be to say that Quebec Solidaire is the product of the struggle against neoliberalism as it took place in the specific context of Quebec. And the way it's been working, really, is through a series of breaks from various layers and groups and networks of activists from the political orbit of the Parti Québécois, which for a long time has been hegemonic and on the left in Quebec, basically occupying the whole left of the political spectrum. In spite of the fact of being a party completely committed to preserving capitalism and, you know, not changing anything. To quote Jacques Parizeau, one of the leaders of the Parti Québécois, what the PQ wants is a country like any other. You know, they want another, smaller, you know, Canada, just another capitalist country on the map. And so, in spite of that, a lot of people have supported the PQ essentially because of national oppression. You know, that's what it boils down to, because the PQ identified itself as being the champion of, you know, the fight for Quebec's rights and Quebec's sovereignty. It managed to gather around itself most of the left for 35 years now. But this is starting to change in a very significant way, especially with the founding of Quebec Solidaire. If we look a little bit more concretely at how that took place, there were a few turning points. In the mid-1990s, under Lucien Bouchard, a former Tory cabinet minister and corporate lawyer by trade, Lucien Bouchard brought in as Prime Minister of Quebec and leader of the PQ a very conservative, very right-wing program, and that led to all kinds of struggles and mobilizations, and with an important break of a number of activists from the PQ through something called Le Rassemblement pour une Alternative Progressiste, RAP, which was formed in the late 90s. What was happening in parallel was that the Quebec section of the NDP took a stand in favor of Quebec independence after the failure of Meech Lake, and then eventually changed its name to Parti de la Démocratie Socialiste. So those two groups, RAP and PDS, were there in the late 90s, but each one of them only had a few hundred members. They were both pretty small things, and they had a hard time coming together. Then really what changed the whole situation is what happened 5 years ago. It was 5 years ago that probably a lot of people who are in this room and tens of thousands of other people got together in Quebec City in April of 2001 to oppose the Free Trade Area of the Americas and at the Summit of the Americas in Quebec City. And that was after, that massive mobilization was prepared by, it took place after the WTO protest in Seattle, and it was prepared to some extent by the World March of Women movement, which was very strong in Quebec and actually originated from Quebec. And the campaign against the FTAA was so effective, you have to measure it in terms of how people perceived free trade deals. In the fall of 2000, a poll was done in asking people if they thought that free trade had, you know, the North American free trade, NAFTA, had been generally a good or a bad thing for Quebec. In the fall of 2000, two-thirds of people thought it had been a good thing. In the spring of 2001, two-thirds of people thought it had been a bad thing. So in the within a period of a few months, that massive grassroots campaign of political education and discussion and that took place all over Quebec in all kinds of groups, unions, anti-poverty groups, women's groups, and so on, had a major impact, and the mobilization in Quebec City represented a sea change. You know, suddenly the whole neoliberal set of ideas was on the defensive and became a minority current in public opinion, and that was very, very significant. And in the middle of that campaign, a small thing happened. Some PQ member of the National Assembly resigned, and so there was a by-election. And that by-election was in the riding of Mercier in the center of Montreal. And the two parties I mentioned earlier, RAP and, well, RAP was not yet exactly a party, but PDS and RAP and the Quebec Communist Party, the Green Party, a bunch of unions, all got together to support a candidate in that by-election, Paul Klisch, who was retired union activist in Quebec and a former activist within the PQ, and under the slogan, "Another Quebec is Possible." which was, you know, obviously borrowing the slogan from the Global Justice Movement and the Social Forums Movement and all of that. And that candidate, that coalition called itself L'Union des Forces Progressistes. And the candidate got 24% in that by-election. And just the fact that a candidate from the left, you know, to the left of the PQ, would get 24% of the votes in a by-election just completely shattered all kinds of pessimistic notions, you know, that a lot of activists had about, oh, no, you can't possibly challenge the PQ, you know, they control everything. People had the habit of the PQ being completely hegemonic on the left, and all of a sudden, 24% of the vote. It's like, oh, my God, you know, we're not dividing the vote. They are. You know, that's what and the people in UFP started saying. So that success gave you know, the energy and the optimism and created the momentum that led to the founding of Union des Forces Progressistes in June of 2002. So that was one thing that led to forming UFP, but that was mostly already organized left and people who had been involved in partisan politics in the PQ and union activists and a good number of students and young people. That was the milieu of Union des Forces Progressistes. But in parallel to that, there was a whole other process going on within the women's movement and anti-poverty groups and community groups. That was a slower process and more complicated because these groups didn't have any kind of tradition of being involved in electoral politics whatsoever. Had not really asked themselves those questions before, but faced with how nasty and right-wing the Lucien Bouchard government was in the 90s, in the late 90s, and then the Landry government after that, a lot of the people involved in those movements eventually reached the conclusion that they had to get involved in electoral politics. And that's what led to the formation of Option Citoyenne, which took place just a few months after the general election in Quebec of April 2003, when the Liberals came in. So it's interesting to note that that process continued and eventually led to Option Citoyenne and UFP coming together and creating Québec solidaire, in spite of the fact that the PQ was then in opposition. You know, logically, historically, the PQ being in opposition could, you know, rebuild themselves a credibility on the left and really criticize the government very strongly and try to present themselves as the alternative. But they were unable to stop that process from happening, and they were really a quite lame opposition party. At the National Assembly, really mildly criticizing some of what the government was doing and being, you know, moderately sympathetic to some of the struggles, but really they didn't manage to rebuild themselves a credibility. And that allowed that process of whole sections of activists in Quebec basically freeing themselves from the orbit of the PQ and saying, no, we don't want to have anything to do with that party anymore. And really, that was the feeling in the room at Université de Montréal when that thousand of people got together at Université de Montréal in February and decided to form a new party. And it was especially intense when that small decision was taken to adopt the name of the party. Adopting the name of the party, it was like some kind of ceremonial thing, you know? We have a name, this is who we are. And people just exploded with joy, you know, literally. Like, that was the feeling, because it was a feeling of liberation. You know, we're talking this weekend about resistance, solidarity, and liberation. You know, there were all three of those things were there at that moment when people stood up and basically gave themselves a standing ovation, you know, collectively, you know, with the feeling, you know, of the way I would phrase it is, you know, we're the left, and there's a lot of us, and we're not the PQ. That was the feeling in that room. And it was very, very, very positive and empowering. And because, you know, 1,000 people in a room, you know, like, all saying we want to have a political party in Quebec that's to the left of the PQ. It's like something that had never been seen before. So, now, a bunch of things have been happening since then. How much time do I still have? I have 15 to go? Okay. So, quickly, let's talk about what's been happening in Quebec in the struggle against Jacques Charest, because we can't have a clear view of the challenges and the issues that the new party has to face without looking at the state of the struggles taking place in Quebec right now, with 3 years now into the Jean Charest government, another former Mulroney cabinet minister, this one turned liberal. The Charest government basically built on what had been done by Bouchard and Landry and, you know, previous governments in terms of neoliberal policies, but they pushed it to the next steps, especially attacking very strongly public sector unions and paving the way for massive, you know, for privatizations and public-private partnerships and all that sort of thing. And there were really important mobilizations in Quebec over the past 3 years. Some of them have been successful, notably the fight against the natural gas power plant, which was a completely absurd thing in Quebec. You know, why would you want to burn natural gas to produce electricity in Quebec? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense at all. And the environmental movement just won that fight because the project was insane, but also because there were very strong mobilizations around it. And also a significant victory was won by the student movement through the biggest student strike ever in the history of Quebec, and therefore of all of Canada, indirectly, which basically which ended up involving 250,000 students being on strike at the same time, you know, and by far the largest student demonstration ever seen in Quebec or Canada, with 60,000 people demonstrating on March 16th in Montreal in 2005. And that struggle ended up defeating the Charest government's proposals to massively increase student debt, which was a way of preparing the ground again for privatization, but in the area of post-secondary education. But one has to also look at the defeats, because there were significant defeats, especially when it comes to the labor movement. A whole series of anti-union laws were passed in December of 2003, and 2 years later, the collective agreements, or the in that case, the decrees imposing contracts on public sector workers were passed at the National Assembly with very, very repressive anti-strike laws, basically, you know, knocking out the Quebec labor movement last December. So there's that combination of some movements, you know, pushing that government back, but the central movement, you know, in a capitalist society, the labor movement, suffering a significant defeat and being quite demoralized at this point. This gives us an idea of what the challenges are for the left in Quebec in general, and in particular for Quebec Solidaire in that context. But overall, the Charest government has remained highly unpopular, and it is highly unlikely that they will win another term, in spite of how lame and right-wing the PQ is. You know? Like, just like the Charest government came in 2003 because people couldn't stand the PQ anymore, there's a good chance the PQ will win the next election in Quebec because people can't stand the Liberals anymore. So there's still that that logic of voting for the least bad going on in Quebec politics. But then Quebec Solidaire appearing on the scene with a good level of credibility and thousands of members and a lot of momentum could bring in really a new, significant new player in that situation. And Amir, when he gets here, hopefully very soon, is going to elaborate more on that since, you know, he's in the middle of it, being one of the two spokespeople for the party. Okay, so in short, how much time do I still have now? Five? Oh, perfect. It's time to conclude. So what's next for that new party? One thing we have to be really honest about is that the basis of unity of the party, la déclaration de principe, is a very minimal thing. Like, it's just stating, you know, the basic values that everybody basically on the left in Quebec and, you know, in the world in general agrees on. You know, we want social justice and we want to defend the environment. We're for international solidarity. We're for justice and justice for all and democracy and all those good things. So it is very basic in terms of a declaration of principle, and that was the decision, you know, of how to proceed with bringing all these people together was to do it on a very minimal basis. But now the party in the next few months will be elaborating a platform, its first election platform, because we have to get ready for an election taking place in 2007. So there's going to be all kinds of discussions, all kinds of debates inside the party about what to put in that platform, how radical the various proposals should be, how anti-capitalist should they be, and more generally the focus, the political focus of the party's next big campaign and first general election. Chris is going to discuss the issue of the by-election that took place a few weeks ago, which is an interesting example of what the party looks like right now. Other big questions will be what kind of campaign to have in that general election in 2007, because there are all kinds of debates that have been taking place kind of on the sides, you know. As the merger was happening, people were debating issues like what kind of relationship should we have with the other parties? Are we considering possibly some kind of strategic alliance with the PQ against the Liberals? Some people in the party have been speculating around those types of scenarios. And we've been campaigning very strongly against any such notion because we think, you know, people deserve and need an alternative to all the established parties. There's also the question of what kind of role the party should play in the struggles and those movements that I've been talking about, especially in the union movement, because there is a need to build an organized union left in Quebec. There is basically no such thing right now, and that's a big part of the reason why the struggles against the Charest government ended up in defeat, because at the top of the union movement there were all kinds of divisions and all kinds of illusions in the possibility of bringing back dialogue, you know, between the union movement and the Charest government, and trying to be nice, you know, basically the leadership of the union movement tried to be really, really nice, and then the Charest government knocked them out, you know. And anyway, we could see that coming for anybody who was clear, but because there was no organized, you know, network of union activists on the ground to propose a different strategy and have a chance of winning the debate about the strategy, that fell apart. But a party like Quebec Solidaire could play a role in organizing the union left. And finally, how should that new party connect with the left in English Canada and the left internationally? There are various possibilities around that, and the fact of, you know, Amir taking some time out of his extremely busy schedule to come talk to us tonight is a sign of the fact that there's a bit of a commitment, there's a a willingness to have a dialogue with the English-Canadian left and try to build bridges. And also there's the issue of how to participate and how that movement, which basically gave birth to the new party, that anti-capitalist, anti-imperialist movement, which made it possible for the new party to happen, now the question becomes, how will that new party participate in the debates in that that big international movement? What kind of perspective are we going to put forward? Are we going to be with, on the Mercosur and Brazilian PT side of the movement, or are we going to be more on the ALBA and Evo Morales and Hugo Chavez part of the movement? You know, there's all kinds of debates coming up, and personally, and I wish Amir was here to hear me say that, but I have that thought in my mind, you know, of Quebec Solidaire taking a stand for Quebec to join ALBA. Just join it, you know? Okay, it's not the International Socialist Revolution yet, but it is a significant challenge to imperialism and to the logic of corporate free trade, and it's something that I'm sure the left in Quebec would support wholeheartedly. I mean, the left in Quebec is completely plugged into Latin America, so I can see the picture, you know? Castro, Chavez, Morales, and Amir Kadir. You know? That would look really good. So I'll end it like that.